How many of you enjoy conflict? Yeah, see, there, some of you do, right? Right? Or maybe you've made peace with conflict, right? So you already are ahead of the game here with where we're headed. So, you know, hang on. Hopefully you'll pick up something new, or you'll just get something reinforced that you can go out there in the world and make a little more peace. So the truth be told, though, some of us do like to stir up the pot a little bit, don't we? Yeah. A little flair for the dramatic. Some of us like to, you know, stir things up and then duck, right? Don't blame me. Let's just see what happens here. My dad used to love to stir things up. He blamed it on his Irish heritage. At our dinner table, he would put some controversial statement out. And I had two sisters, and my sisters and I were kind of, well, I was especially young, but we all were kind of young. At least we were all naive. And we would bite every time. You know, just exactly what he wanted, right? And then, and so then I think he wanted it because both he wanted a livelier dinner table experience, but also he wanted to try to convert us to his way of thinking. And so it took years before we went, oh, I see what he's doing. So I think it might have been a little bit of this, right? Just kind of enjoying a little bit of stirring things up. When things get a little dull, we begin to stir them up. So maybe we could work on stirring our spiritual evolution and our spiritual awakening. But regardless, it's part of life, right? Regardless of how we embrace it or don't, and actually, truthfully, a lot of us like to avoid conflict, right? Even at all costs. Anybody been there, at least in your history, if not now? Yeah, we'd rather go around or underneath or however we can go without having to confront it face on. So today, what we're going to do is talk about embracing conflict and turning our foes into friends. Sound good? All right, good. You're still with me. You haven't left yet. This is good news. So today's our second week in the series, The Eye of the Storm. So the eye of the storm speaks for itself, right? It's about being in the storm of life, being in the chaos of life, being in the conflict that is inevitable, and finding ourselves in that center space, in that calm space, in the eye of the hurricane. We've had a lot of news about hurricanes, so you can imagine yourself in the eye of the hurricane, is in that peaceful space in the midst of the chaos. And so if you want to engage more deeply in this experience, we do have fall study groups going on, and many of those are fairly full, but there's also an opportunity to buy the book. And Mike tells me there's 7 copies still in the bookstore. And at the end of each chapter, there's awareapy exercises, which are really designed for self-study, journaling, and doing some internal work. So ways that you can engage a little bit more in the message each week. So why do some of us avoid conflict? What is it about conflict that makes us go, no, I don't want to be a part of that, or I want to get away from that somehow? Or what is it that we are feeling when we are in that kind of conflict avoidance space? Or maybe shy or unwilling to speak our truth. We just rather let it, you know, roll off of our back or whatever we say, you know. And sometimes we really can do that authentically, but a lot of times it's like we're trying to, as we say, spiritually bypass something that's here for us to really address. So underneath, I think some reasons why we might be in that kind of conflict avoidance space are some of our fears, right? The fear of not maybe fitting in or being accepted. A sense of belonging, getting along, you know, this wanting to be liked, wanting to be loved, wanting to please others. Some of us were raised that way, raised not to honor so much our own feelings, but be concerned about creating harmony with others so that nobody else gets upset. Anybody have that kind of training in their background? Yeah. So, right, a lot of us, it's very common, cater to others' needs. Or maybe we're just worried we won't get it right. When we step in, right? We won't say the right thing. We're going to make it worse. We're going to mess it up. Or the other person's reaction is going to be too hard for us to handle. We're afraid of the consequences. So Gary Simmons, the author of our book, Eye of the Storm, is a Taekwondo instructor. He's been very much in the martial arts much of his life and his career. And he was teaching some students to become black belts in Taekwondo at one time. But prior to that, when he was 12 years old, he was bullied quite a bit, particularly by this boy named Ricky. And Gary was about 12 at the time. He said Ricky would find whatever pathway Gary seemed to take, and he tried to mix it up and go different ways from school to home. Ricky would figure out a way to terrorize Gary in some way. So he would jump out from behind the garbage cans in the alley, for example. And usually he'd, you know, put Gary in a headlock until Gary started crying, and they'd say, "Give me your money," you know. So it was always about bullying him to give him money. And so Gary had, you know, gone through this over and over again, and he one day decided, today I'm going to stick up for myself. Today I'm going to stand my ground. And if Ricky's on my way home, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to let him have it in some way. He didn't know what that looked like. But so sure enough, Ricky pops out, pushes Gary down, and starts the whole give me your money thing. And to Gary's surprise, he stood up and punched Ricky square in the eye, and Ricky started crying and, you know, ran home. And Gary said, I mean, to this day, in his older age, he still feels bad about hitting Ricky that day and making him cry and hurting him. But he didn't know that there was another option. You know, a lot of us are taught there's two options with conflict, right? Fight or flight. That's it. Well, it took a 9-year-old student of his to begin to point out there could be a different way. And his 9-year-old student named Scott was in his academy. And at this point, Gary now was blending his Unity teachings. Gary's now a Unity minister. And he was taking the work of Eric Butterworth, Discover the Power Within You, and using that as his motto in the Black Belt School, Discover the Black Belt Within You. And so Scott got it at 9 years old, and he was asking the kids, what is the black belt to you? And what he really wanted them to understand was the power is not in having the black belt itself. The power is in you, right? And Scott got it. And Scott said, you know, I used to be pushed around by other kids. And he said, and I always thought I either had to run away or fight. And he said, and then because I have the black belt now, I understand that I can just walk away. And that's what he started to do. And it came, right, from that centering, from that knowing, that power within himself. Fear can cause us to have knee-jerk reactions, right, where we say or whatever we do, that elevate the conflict. And we can regret that later, right? But calm centeredness, when we are in that space, it reveals other options to us, other ways to approach, creative solutions, other ways to be. Sometimes, like Scott said, it's just, you know, or how that there's a sense of something just comes to us and we're surprised by how we respond differently because we had that intention. So fight or flight are not our only options, although that is often what's been told to us by science and ways that we understand human behavior. Well, there's other scientific studies, maybe not as well known. In the year 2000, Dr. Shelley Taylor and some UCLA colleagues of hers started to notice that for them, and also for particularly some of their female patients, there was a different kind of response going on. What they started calling not fight or flight, but tend and befriend. That there is an instinct to tend, to make sure the kids are safe or whoever else is vulnerable, and to befriend, to bring in the support of your friends, right? So there is that opportunity, that option for us as well that we don't always think about, because for so long we've been told it's fight or flight. That's how humans react from the lizard brain, as they call it, right? So it's also shifting, right, into a higher level of intelligence, into that connection with divine intelligence that opens up the way for other ways. The implications of this are really big for us to shift into this way of thinking, for humanity to recognize I have more options not just fight or flight, but tend and befriend as well. Lisa Witter and Lisa Chen wrote in Ode magazine, if the reigning ethos of our history has been survival of the fittest, the temperature of today's planet is a paradigm shift that is called survival of the connected. So from survival of the fittest, we're in competition with each other, to survival of the connected. And what does that mean to be connected? We know that on a lot of different levels, right? Feeling connected to each other, feeling connected to ourselves, feeling connected to the wisdom within us, to the essence of God within us, feeling connected to nature. You know, it could go on and on, but it's all of that that shifts us into a place of, I'm not alone and I don't have to fight back or run away. I actually have resources available to me right here and now. So when we are true to our principles and when we value ourselves and value others, we create a different kind of energy force field that happens, right? And in that dynamic energy force field, there's more potential available to us. Things we might not think with our intellectual mind, but opens us up to divine intelligence, for divine ideas to come through us, for guidance to become very clear to us in the moment, and the best path forward then becomes clearer and clearer. So even if conflict is provided or provoked from seemingly the outside, right? Some outside situation, some outside interaction with another, the conflict really happens inside. Have you ever noticed that? You know, because it's like the same thing that when we say somebody else can't make you feel a certain way. I mean, we might say, you make me feel so angry. But in truth, you feel angry. All the person did was whatever they did or whatever they said, right? So they're not making us feel. There is an experience inside of us that's happening, that a feeling is arising because of some actions, some words. So it's that separating the actions, the words from the person helps us, and also recognizing that what's happening is happening in here, which means this is good news for us because we have the power to make change there. Can't change the people around us, but we can do a lot of work in here, right? And I'm doing this because it's mind, body, heart, it's all of it, right? It's all aspects of being where this happens. So usually what's happening in the conflict can boil down to two things that are competing. One is the desire to feel safe, right? So we have a high need to feel safe. We need to feel valued. We need to feel okay. We need to feel validated. There's a high level need that might be activated in us at any given moment. There's also a high level soul need happening inside of us. And the soul wants to progress. The soul wants to evolve. The soul wants to grow. That's kind of the nature of the soul, right? That it's always propelling us forward to advance our understanding, to awaken spiritually, to do the right thing, to whatever it is. So let the soul win. That's the end of that conversation, right? Let the soul win. Let that better part of us, because with it, when we give way to it, the courage that we need will be there. Will we get it right every time? No. Will we sometimes make it worse? Maybe temporarily. But the authentic desire within ourselves to meet what is before us will allow us to grow through it and grow each other through it and better maybe even the situation through it by our willingness. There's a Chinese wisdom that says, a Chinese saying, embrace tiger, return to mountain. Embrace tiger, return to mountain. And the wisdom of that is that return to mountain is, you could say, synonymous with being centered, synonymous with being connected, feeling the present, being present, and all that comes with that, right? A sense of harmony, a sense of peace, a sense of equanimity, a sense of being in the eye of the storm. In that calm space, in that centered, peaceful place, in that place of wisdom. And the ancients believed that we could, and that experience, that mountaintop experience, could really only be experienced by embracing the tigers that come along in our path. By embracing, in other words, whatever it is, the situation, the conflict, the so-called problem. So what, when we are confronted with that, when it comes along, what can we do? Well, we can look inside, right? Because we know that that's where the conflict happens. And we can say, what's going on here? What's here for me? What am I feeling? What am I needing? Kind of getting to know what's happening inside of ourselves. And from that centered place, then, as we get more internal and more centered, then we can make good decisions about how we're going to respond, what we're going to do. We can fight, we can flee, we can walk away, we can speak some truth, we can act in some other way. So all of those might be available to us. So a lot of this, you know, something is against me or someone is against me, which we talked about last week, nothing is really against us, right? It's here for us. No one is against us. Whatever comes up is for us. It's for the opportunity for us to grow. It's the opportunity for us to awaken. So who is then the enemy or the foe? It is that which we think is against us. It's when we forget that nothing and no one is against us, and we think something is or someone is, and that becomes the foe, right? I prefer foe over enemy for some reason. So what is your foe? You know, it could be anything at any time, right? It could be disease. It could be death. It could be aging. It could be divorce. It could be another person. It could be your work environment. A lot of different things. We might be in sort of a kind of internal, at least, combat with in some way, right? We're fighting against, we're resisting against in some way. And that tension between us and whatever that foe is the storm. That's where the storm is happening, right? It's in the tension. So then the eye of the storm is when we go into that sweet spot, that when we tend to ourselves, to our feelings, to what's happening, and we are willing to befriend that foe. So it's not just as easy as that necessarily, but that's the concept anyway, right? Jesus said it this way, love your enemies. Very simply. In the King James Version, he says a little more, love your enemies. Bless them, do good, and pray for those who persecute you. So he really gives us a map. What should we do in the face of our foes? Love them, bless them, do good, which means do the right thing, and pray. And if we begin to look at that and really do that, we begin to see what happens. So love, let's take love. What happens when we love? We embrace, right? We allow, we accept what is. That's a part of what love does, right? Our hearts begin to open. We begin to allow, embrace. We give more space to it. And so suddenly there isn't so much tension. There isn't so much of that kind of contracted energy. There's an openness. There's a willingness. Maybe even a curiosity that comes. When we befriend the part of ourselves that feels disconnected and fearful, which is really all that's going on there, right? When we love it, we're bringing it back in, right? It's like a child that fell and hurt its knee. Oh, honey, come on back. You know, how often are we that gentle to ourselves? But what if we were? What if we were when the critic starts going off and we went, oh, honey, I see you're not getting your needs met. And I'm like, let me love you back in. Right? And imagine what happens, right? Just like that kid that's having a temper tantrum, it's like, oh, I'm being loved, I'm being hugged, I'm being, you know, and they just sort of melt in. So that's what we're really doing, is we're inviting these parts of ourselves that we are making foe, or whatever it is outside of us that we have made a foe and had feelings about, back into center to feel whole again. And bless. When we bless, what do? We endow something with the capacity to have good, right? We give it, when we praise it, the goodness in it increases. And so if we bless the foe and recognize, this is here for my own understanding, my own growth, then there is a sense of, okay, then I'm here to learn the lessons. I'm here to open up to that. I'm here to grow through that. And the blessing then returns to us over and over again because of that. When we bless our foe, we allow ourselves to reclaim our dignity and our wholeness. And doing good. Doing good is doing the right thing. And what is the right thing? It's about that response. How do we respond? We let go of the need to be right. Easier said than done sometimes, right? We focus our attention on demonstrating our authenticity and our wholeness and our worth. And so the right thing is not about winning, it's not about defeating the other or this part of ourselves, it's not about looking good, it's about ownership for our part. It's about just allowing ourselves to take ownership in our part, to look, to ask, okay, so somebody just told me that I did not do that well. So instead of having this whole, I don't ever want to talk to that person again, maybe just taking it in and going, I wonder, they're not talking about me. They're just talking about something I said or did. So let me look at what I said or did and reflect on that. When we are in a place of the eye of the storm, we can do that. When we let ourselves get in the storm, no way, right? We're in it and we're fighting for our lives because we're fighting for our ego's survival. But if instead we go, okay, let me go to this other place, it's a whole different world. It's a whole different willingness to take responsibility. And by that, I mean to recognize we have an ability to respond. We always have an ability to choose how we respond. So one of the things when we talk about this kind of, love and bless and do good, and, we think, well, what about that person who's, doing horrible things to everyone, or what about that, so we kind of get into this worrying that we're going to let folks off the hook, but this isn't really, it's not really that. It's not about not having accountability for true things that are truly unjust or true persecution, true prejudice, that kind of stuff needs accountability for sure, right? So it's important to separate those things out. And to recognize, like we talked about last week, we can be pretty dramatic. I was raked over the coals, I was thrown under the bus. Really? I mean, is it really that serious? So it's kind of sussing it out. Maybe if we weren't, we just tone down the drama a little bit, it could bring us to a little more the facts, and then we can work from that place, right? So that's all in the do the right thing, do the good thing that Jesus talks about in this idea of loving our enemies or loving our foes. And then pray, and this isn't necessarily in order. I mean, pray might work well first. Mm-hmm. But what do we do when we pray? We give over, right? We give our thoughts to the divine. We let go of the story and we just give it over so we can come back to center, so we can feel a sense of oneness with the one, oneness with the other, oneness with all the parts of ourselves. And it's a recollection of that. It's a bringing back into our wholeness. We then move out of I'm a victim to I'm a victor, right? And so is everybody who's involved. We all win by embracing conflict, by embracing the tiger. We all return to the mountain, which is here. So how are you your own worst enemy? We all have some of our pet ways that we are our own worst enemy, right? So maybe you're self-critical. Maybe that's where you kind of default. Or maybe you fight against your own body. Maybe you're critical of your own body specifically. Maybe you regret past actions or past things you said and you mull over them again and again and again. Anybody do that? So you just kind of create that pattern of negativity. Maybe you're, as Brené Brown says, always hustling for your worth. You know, anybody relate to that? Yeah, just always hustling for your worth. So there's a, you know, I've got to do more, more, more because I need to serve more, more, more. I need to be more productive. I need to perfect that. I need to, and it gets exhausting, right? You can tell where mine falls in, can't you? And so when we get in these places, how do we feel? How do you feel when you are being your own worst enemy? Yeah, it's not great, right? It's down, it's deflated, it's disheartening, it's not exciting, it's not fun. You're not having fun when you're in these places, right? We're agitated maybe and creating distance with others, as well as maybe feeling tired and overwhelmed and confused and anxious and fearful and everything else you might want to say about how you feel when you are in that kind of fight against yourself. And how do you get back on track? Here's a pattern. Love, bless, do good, pray. All of those things will bring you back. Loving our foe, loving the parts of ourselves that we've cast out, loving them back in, blessing, looking for the good, appreciating, praising what is here, what is good, what is, if it's your body, what's good about your body? What do you love about your body? Maybe you love your hair, or maybe you love a hair. You know, start small. I love the toenail of my pinky toe, you know, whatever it is. And then just begin there and it begins to grow. That's what praise and gratitude does naturally. It just multiplies and it allows, then all of a sudden we notice, oh, I'm feeling better. I feel more uplifted. I feel, you know, like I'm being kinder to myself, and everything can shift from there. The Chinese proverb, we're bringing in some Chinese wisdom today, says tension is who you think you should be, relaxation is who you are. Yeah. Tension is who you think you should be, relaxation is who you are. Yeah. So when we are in shoulds, Bill, right? Shoulding on ourselves, we... We feel that experience of tension, of stress, of internal, yeah. And then just being who we are. Whole different world, relaxation. So the wisdom of Jesus is this: love your enemies, and also remember, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so forgiving ourselves and others for our ignorance, for doing the best we can, which doesn't feel good enough sometimes, and just accepting that that's what it is, right? And just, we know not what we do. We wouldn't do this to ourselves or to each other when we know better. So when we know better, we do better. You know, it's that kind of like just conventional wisdom sometimes is exactly what we need to remember. I love these little pithy sayings because it helps me stay on track. So I hope it does you too. Myrtle Fillmore is the co-founder of Unity, and she, back in the day, she would write letters to folks who would write in with their prayer concerns or things that were going on in their lives, and she would write them a letter back and give them some of her wisdom. And in this case, she writes, "Let's not condemn ourselves or resent it at times if a dear one fails to see things just like we do." "Let's endeavor," she says, "to look through the veil of personality and see the Christ or the divine within," if you prefer that term, "and trust that this God self will come through gloriously." So it's all about our expectation, right? And our beholding. If we can behold within ourselves and with each other, look past the veil of personality to the truth, and allow that some praise, and see what happens. Experiment with that. So conflict is going to come. We know this, right? It's part of being part of Earth School. Tigers are going to pop up in our path. And they are here as opportunities always for our spiritual development, for us to grow and become more skillful in how we respond. So let's embrace conflict, and let's turn our foes into friends. I invite you to say this with me. I embrace conflict and turn my foes into friends. So it is.
Thank you.